Hey there, it's the Pete for the Pete Podcast, with the Pete Podcast, from thepete.com. It's been a crazy first week of the Trump administration, huh? It's kind of hilarious, the level of absurdity and the frequency of absurdity, that we're dealing with here. In reality, this is as far as we know, the prime dimension of reality. This is the only place reality happens that we can prove. And it's really happening. Trump has been inaugurated. I mean, I feel like we've pretty much literally become, we've stopped being in America, or America, we've just started to become we've now become a parody of America. I'm waiting for Green Day to put out an album called American Parody. But yeah, I mean, when just the phrase President Trump, it's just like, I don't know whether to laugh or vomit a little in my mouth. It's just a situation that's totally bizarre that I would say probably 5 or 10 years ago, if you'd asked me, we'd have a President Trump in 2017, I would just be like, no way. A year ago, I would have been shrugging, going, oh God, I hope not. Because it became, I mean, it's like the cone of uncertainty there just shrank down to, you know, a straw, where, you know, it's really easy to see. It was really easy to see how this was definitely going to happen. I kept hoping the cone was larger, but, you know, in hindsight, I was lying to myself that humanity, or rather America, I should stop. Wow, that was a lame conflation there. Americans aren't going to do what's necessary to stop Trump. It's possible that eventually we'll sort of mealy-mouthedly find our way to get Trump out of the White House. But it may take 4 years, and then it'll be, that's how we'll do it, is we'll vote for somebody else. I mean, because already, you know, his future opponent has, you know, all they have to do is point out all the lies from week one, because it's basically, you know, a never-ending flow. And, you know, and I posted something on my Twitter feed last night. There was an article that I saw in the Yahoo News Digest talking about how Trump is moving forward with a big probe, huge probe, the best probe, into his own allegations that there were 3 to 5 million people who voted illegally in the election. And immediately I thought of I couldn't help but think of the phrase, the emperor has no evidence, because like the emperor who had no clothes, there is no evidence, and there's no evidence of voter fraud. There just isn't. I mean, yeah, if you consider like a handful of people, literally like five people, I've actually only heard definitely of one, case of voter fraud, and that was a woman who tried to vote twice for Trump, and guess what, she got caught. So technically it wasn't a successful attempt at fraud, so whoopsie. Yeah, anyway, voter fraud not a thing, but he's looking for evidence anyway. He's basically, this is like I guess better than what George W. did, which was, you know, he was convinced he could find WMD in Iraq, which he couldn't because there weren't any. And likewise, Trump is going to do the same, but with voter fraud, which is just weird. And it's strange that we can't just tell the guy, yeah, don't do that. Or we can't, there's nobody in his staff. There's no way to legally have Congress just say, hey, don't do that. You know, I mean, then again, I guess the purse strings are being held by Congress. So I suppose if the Republicans are reasonable and have a spine, perhaps they could say something or do something to stop Trump from wasting all this money on a boondoggle, basically a self-imposed boondoggle. The nice thing is, the one takeaway that I take solace in is that he's still really upset about not winning the popular vote. So I feel like if we just keep rubbing that in his nose, he'll just maybe, you know, maybe, and maybe this is just me being like way too wishfully thinking here, but it would be really neat to just see him lose his shit over the whole popular vote thing. Because, you know, he's such an egoist that if we just keep shoving his nose in the fact that the popular vote is not his, was not his, he has no mandate. He's just desperately trying to justify his view that he is the awesomest, the hugest, the greatest president ever, or the greatest guy ever, because now he's president. You know, he's just trying to do what he can to you know, rationalize his own worldview. I think that's really what this boils down to. He's not interested in truth. And abstractly, probably not even interested in protecting his own ego. He's just got this worldview that he needs to protect. And that worldview is that he's awesome and he's the best. And, you know, and if he loses the popular vote, well, that means he's not the best. That means he's not even the man America wanted as its leader. You know, I mean, he's literally won on a technicality, and I don't think he wants to. He's not going to be able to think of himself as the greatest if he won on a technicality. And I really hope somebody in the media, the next person who gets to interview him, or any person who gets to ever interview him, is able to just climb on his face and shove this putrid stinker of a fact right in up his nose and just not let it go. You know, just say, you lost the popular vote. Do you feel that you still have a mandate? Or not even that, just say, you lost the popular vote. How does that make you feel? And then watch him just, I didn't lose the popular vote. Those are frauds. Those voters are fraud. 3 million, 5 million, whatever he's going to say. He's going to like lose his shit, basically, hopefully. And the other thing I'd like to see happen is I'd like to see someone in the media, and again, both of these things I don't expect to actually happen because the media has let us down consistently, though it has been nice to see a few reporters with some spine actually call Trump, not to his face, but in general, on his lies. It's been nice. The New York Times had a headline that actually referred to this voter fraud claim as a lie, and Jake Tapper, I think, had a really great little piece on CNN, where he basically just slammed him for lying about the voter fraud thing. Anyway, so the other thing I'd like to see happen is a reporter ask him, say, you know, a hypothetical question. I know everybody hates hypothetical questions, but this would be a quick one. Okay, so say I'm the reporter. Okay, so Mr. Trump, you and I are in a car, and we're both looking through the windshield. We're looking forward, the direction the car's going in. And I see a cliff coming. I see a big gap. Like, say we're just driving towards the Grand Canyon. And I see the canyon opening up in front of us in the distance. And I'm like, hey, Mr. Trump, you're going to drive us over a cliff and into the Grand Canyon. Can you please turn? And then you say, no, I don't see any Grand Canyon. I don't see a cliff at all. What are you talking about? How would you, in that situation, prefer I respond to that claim? That's what I want to see happen. That's what I want to see some reporter say to him. Just ask him, how would you have me respond to you saying something I know is demonstrably not the case, like visibly, observably not the case, you know? Because that's what we're seeing happen. And it's like, if he gets angry at us every time we try to call him on his lies, you know, this is going to be a long 4 years, people. And Donnie, this is going to be a long 4 years, bro. I don't know why you want to bring this on yourself. You know, it's going to be hard to spar with everyone forever. It would be easier if you just accepted the fact that you're not omnipotent. You know, you're not always right. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. This has been The Pete for ThePete.com and The Pete Podcast. Let me know what you think on Twitter @ThePete. Thank you. Bye-bye.